This morning, brethren, I want to talk to you about be sure to. Last Lord's Day, we talked about don't forget. Well, this is the beginning of the new year. And so we want to make sure that we get things in the proper position so that we can serve our God, our Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So this morning, we want to talk about three things. First of all, we want to talk about knowing Jesus, how important that is. And the second aspect that we want to talk about is that we want to make sure that we love Jesus. And then finally, we want to finish up by understanding what it is and the necessity of following Him. So let's begin our study this morning with the idea of taking a look at knowing Jesus. Get my computer going in the right direction. If you would please turn into your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, even though it says verse 8. Verse 8 is our target verse. But let's begin in verse 7, for it adds so much to what we're talking about this morning. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 7. Here's what the scripture has to say. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now, we understand, and we can right off the bat, we can say, well, you know Paul, he's an apostle, he had a vision. Of course he's going to say that very thing. But the thing is, this applies to you and I just as much as it does to the Apostle Paul. So it's not something that we can just brush off as saying, oh, that's an apostle. That's for you and I to learn, to understand, and to follow through as well. So I count all things but for loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. Oh, really, Paul? Well, do you give up your house? Well, yeah, I gave up my house. Do you give up your beast and your wagon payment? Yes, I gave up my beast payment and my wagon payment. I gave those things up. What about all the clothes that you had as a Pharisee? Well, you know, I've just got the clothes that I carry with me in my little knapsack, and that's about all the clothing that I have. Consider the very thing that Paul is saying, that the value of knowing Jesus Christ is greater than the value of everything that I think that I possess, that I believe I possess. We actually possess super little. We possess our soul, we possess our body. God supplies the rest. So it goes on to say now in verse 8, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Can I say that again, please? More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. Here's my house, here's knowing Christ. Here's my car payment, here's my car, here's knowing Jesus Christ. Here are my family, this is knowing Jesus Christ. All things as loss for the value, and that value must be very high then. If I'm going to give up my possessions to know Christ, then that value of knowing Christ must be super high. It goes on to say in verse 8, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul exactly did. He went through all of those and lost all of those things and count them but rubbish that I may know Jesus Christ, or that I may gain Christ. That word rubbish is the New American Standard Version way of saying animal dung. How's that? I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as animal dung that I may gain Christ. Look it up in the Greek. Get your Greek dictionary out and see how that definition flows out for you. You'll find that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. Animal excrement. The house that I possess is animal excrement compared to knowing Jesus Christ. What a statement to be made about anybody. It may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, since I'm an Old Testament Jew kind of person, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, the righteousness that makes me right is because I trust in my Savior to save me. That's why he's called a Savior. And he is going to save me from the pit of hell so that I might spend eternity in heaven with my Lord, with my God, and with the Holy Spirit, and all those angelic beings that are found there in heaven in this righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That means I have to know him. You can't put your faith in Charlie outside here in the world because I don't know Charlie. You don't know Charlie. He's just a guy off the street. Why in the world would you put your trust in him? Unless, of course, you know him to be an upright and stalwart human being. But that's the thing about God. That's the thing about the Lord Jesus. You do know him. And you have put your faith in him. If you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, that means you repented and you've confessed that you agree with what the scriptures have to say, that Jesus is the best man to have ever walked on the planet. And not only is he the best man, he's also God in human form who came down to live a perfect life. So I put my trust in Jesus to help me get through the night. I put my trust in Jesus to help me get through the day. I put my trust in Jesus to get me into heaven. And it goes on to say now in verse 9, that I may know him, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know that power, the power of the resurrection, so that as Jesus was raised from the dead, I too will know that power of the resurrection, and I will be raised from the dead at the appropriate hour, at the appropriate time, when the trumpet sounds and the Lord returns to collect his own. I want to know that power of being resurrected and made into my spirit form such that I will have a home in heaven in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. I want to know these things. And I tell you what, there's nothing on earth that is as important as knowing Jesus Christ. Nothing compares to that. Not my grades in school, not the job that I have, not the amount of money that I possess, not that I have 800 children and one wife. I don't have 800 children, by the way. I'm just using that as an example. And not any of that sort of thing. The only thing that's important in this lifetime is knowing Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John 10, please. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 14. John 10 and verse 14. Here's what Jesus did not say. John 10 and verse 14. Here's what Jesus did not say. I am the shepherd. He didn't say that. Well, what did he say? He said, I'm the good shepherd. You see, that's a qualifying verse, a qualifying word. And to put that word good, it means something. Jesus is not just a shepherd who goes about the motions of doing what shepherds do. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is far and extraordinarily above the efforts of what a normal everyday shepherd would do. And that's important to you and me because Jesus is your shepherd. He is my shepherd. And he is your good shepherd. And he is my good shepherd. And it goes on to say here in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and I know Amanda. That's what Jesus would be saying. I know Roy. That's what Jesus would be saying. I know Mark back there in the back. That's what Jesus would be saying. I know Derek back over here in this corner. That's what Jesus would be saying. And I know Tiara up here in the corner. Jesus would know her and Gracie as well. So Jesus knows his own. Everybody that is associated with Jesus in salvation, with the washing and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, everyone who is in that saved condition, Jesus knows. And he knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're doing. He knows what your future plans are. He knows what you will be doing. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you get up. He knows when you lie down. He knows when you get out of bed. He knows when you eat. He knows what you eat. Jesus is standing right next to you. Or, in this particular case, as you are sitting in pews, Jesus is sitting right next to you. Can you understand that? Can you believe that? Do you buy into that? Do you believe that Jesus is like right here next to me? And he's right there, right next to you. And he's checking your condition. He's seeing if you have everything that you need. He's seeing that your spirit is exactly as it needs to be. So this is why it's so super important to know Jesus Christ. But there's verse 15 that follows up here. Verse 15 has this, even as the Father knows me. How do you think Jehovah God knows Jesus? How well do you think that relationship is? Jesus said in John chapter 17 that they, the disciples, should know him and the Lord just as they know each other. And so that's a very close tying relationship. It's a tying contract, if you will, to put that in legal terms. He goes on to say here, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know that he said he was the good shepherd? Well, he proved it by laying down his life for you. Let me tell you something. Let's suppose that you're out on the lake in a boat, and for whatever reason, you fall out of the boat and into the water. Perhaps you're a good swimmer and it doesn't make any difference. You just swim to the boat and haul yourself back in. But suppose you're not that good of a swimmer. Suppose you can't save yourself. And your buddy that's in the boat with you gives a hand out to you, reaches out to you, and pulls you in. How much are you going to appreciate your buddy for saving your life? Well, that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done. He didn't save you physically. He saved you spiritually. And he reached down and pulled you into that boat of salvation, the ark, if you will, of your own salvation. So as we move forward in 2024, one of the things that we must do is to come to know Jesus as very best as we can. And we don't get this information from a leaf that falls down off a tree. It doesn't come because a car missed you on a highway. It comes because you take out the Word of God and you find out who Jesus is. This new year, I suggest you read through the book of Mark. It's a short book, 16 chapters? It'll take you half a month to read one chapter a day. Read the book of Mark and find out who Jesus is. Find out what he said, find out what he did, find out what he does, find out what he's doing right now for you. The second thing that we want to talk about this morning is the fact that we want to love Jesus. And I always enter into Luke 10 and verse 27. Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. Luke 10 and verse 27. You can say this verse by yourself. You've got it memorized. Good Bible students that you are. And it says in Luke 10 verse 27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live eternally. Well, what's that? What's that connection now? What is it I need to do? I shall need to love the Lord your God with all of my heart. I need to love the Lord my God with all of my soul. And I need to love my God with all of my strength. And I need to love my God with all of my mind, everything that I am. These four things represent everything that a person is all about. I have a body. I have emotions. I have mental ability, not prowess, but mental ability. And I have my body that I depend on to do the things that I need to do every day. And that's how I function. That's how you function. So how is it? How are you going to love the Lord your God unless you know him? Let me tell you something. Something that you already know. A young man looks at a young woman and he's attracted to her. He likes the way that she looks. He likes the way that she talks. He likes the things that she does. He likes the way that she plays and has a good time. There are many things about that young lady that that young man really appreciates and really likes. And so what's he going to do? He's going to find a way to get himself introduced to this young lady. And he's going to join with her in living, and I would say living together, but that would be a mistake if you misunderstood me very easily. Living, sharing life together for a while, and then they determine that, yeah, I'd like to marry him or her. And so then that's what happens next. And what do you think happens in between the time that he sees her and the time that he marries her? What happens? They fall in love with one another. And that's what I'm suggesting that you do with Jesus. Find out what Jesus is all about. Find out what he does. Find out what he's thinking. Find out how he does things. Find out what his ultimate goals are, his ultimate plans are. And the more that you realize that, the more that you're going to come to an appreciation, a love of Jesus Christ, because he is better than anybody than you can possibly imagine upon this earth. You will never find a companion like Jesus. You will never find a love like Jesus Christ. You will never find anything that compares to Jesus Christ and knowing him and the power of his resurrection, which he intends for you. Your resurrection is dependent upon Jesus Christ. Your resurrection was dependent upon the fact that he died on the cross. Your resurrection was dependent on the fact that he was resurrected, that he arose from the dead, and that he's living right now, right next to you, sitting right next to you this very morning. And when you come to appreciate Jesus Christ, you come to appreciate the fact that no one's ever died for me except Jesus. No one's ever died for you except Jesus. Jesus is the only person who expended his life for your salvation. Jesus died so that you are going to go to heaven. If you realize all of these things about Jesus Christ, and then in 2024, your love for him will grow exponentially. And when your love for him grows to that extent, in that way, your sin is going to be less and less and less. Your stress is going to be less. You'll find calmness. You'll find peace. You'll find the love that you so desperately need in the deepest part of your being. That's the very thing that we're talking about this morning. Be sure to know Jesus. Be sure to love Jesus. Here's our final point this morning. Let's make sure that we follow Jesus. Wherever he goes, that's where I want to go. That's called discipleship. Whatever he says, that's how I want to be. That's discipleship. Whatever he says, whatever he does, wherever he sends me, wherever it is he teaches me, these are the things that make up my life. He goes on to say in Matthew 16, verse 24 through 25, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me," well, there's two points that you got to realize. Two points that you have to realize about that statement right there before we even finish the verse. Two things that you need to understand before we finish that verse. If you wish to come after Jesus, if you wish to follow him, number one, you're going to have to die. You're going to have to die. That means your personal will, your own decision making, must be Jesus first, not self first. As a matter of fact, you come in pretty low on the ranking chart. So if you wish to follow Jesus, number one, you're going to have to give up yourself. That is your life. Number two, you're going to have to do what it is that Jesus wants you to do. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, here I am. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ back in the first century. And I'm walking with Jesus. I'm following. There's Jesus. He's got the apostles around him. All of us disciples are behind, and we're walking the same roads that he's walking, and we're listening to the things that he has to say, and we're seeing all the miracles that he's performing, and we're more impressed. Our minds are blown, to use an expression back from the 60s. We are just beside ourselves at who this person is, and we're walking along. And then one day we see that he's been arrested. And so we come up and we stand around and we watch. We want to see what's going on. We're intent on knowing what's happening with Jesus. And the next thing we know, he's gone through 6 illegal trials. And then the next thing that we see is that he's gone before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. And the next thing that we see, Jesus is being scourged. He's being walked down through the street carrying that heavy cross that he can't bear by himself. And they walk out to this place called Golgotha, which means the skull. And so they set him up and they crucify him on that cross. And there he's hanging from the accursed tree. And we're thinking, if I must follow Jesus, that means I must die. It means I must die. I must die to myself, Jesus, just as Jesus died to himself. And then in Jesus, we stay around and we find out that Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and that we too are going to be resurrected from the dead. That's the promise. And we're going to have eternity in heaven with our Lord and God. So if anyone wants to come after Jesus, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Wow, what a weird statement that is. If I want to save my life, I must lose my life. Who's ever heard of such a thing? That doesn't even make grammatical sense. That doesn't make any kind of logic whatsoever. Unless you understand that you must empty yourself so that you will indeed be full of Jesus Christ. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That is true eternal life in God and of our Father in heaven. Let's take a look at Matthew 10 and verse 37. Here's the comparison for you. Matthew 10 and verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So this is a man or a woman in the middle. Man or woman in the middle. Yes, we've got parents, and yes, we have children. Now, Jesus makes this really huge statement. You're going to have to love me more than you love mom or more than you love dad. If there's a choice between me and mom, it's going to have to be me. If there's a choice between me and dad, it's going to have to be me. Now, you've got children, and you love those children preciously. There's nothing, it seems like, more greater than the love that you have for your children. And yet Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to love me more than you love your daughter, more than you love your son. And that's a tough position. That's a tough thing to say. But Jesus is making this statement to prove the point that he's got to be the primary person in your life. So there are 3 things that we want to talk about in 2024. Be sure to know Jesus Christ. Number 2, be sure that you fall in love with Jesus Christ. Number 3, be sure that you follow Jesus all the days of your life, losing your life, and in the process, finding your life. So it brings us now to this last final point.